Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. This week, we're talking about an aspect of being transgender that I suspect most cis folks have never even thought about, which makes some degree of sense because you've never needed to. Time to learn about boy mode and girl mode. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the lady who somehow fell for me despite, or perhaps because of, my being very, very bad at boy mode, Susan Bridges.
Hello. What? I think it is.
You think it's because my boy mode was so bad?
Yeah. You know, I always said, like, I can't even believe I married a man.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't.
You didn't.
That's why. That made a lot of sense.
Yeah. Our returning guest is Shannon T.L. Kearns, a former fundamentalist who became the first openly transgender man ordained to the old Catholic priesthood. He is an ordained priest, a playwright, and a theologian. He's the co-founder of QueerTheology.com, and his first book, In the Margins, A Transgender Man's Journey with Scripture, is published by Eerdmans Books. He has two books forthcoming, No One Taught Me How to Be a Man, What a Trans Man's Experience Reveals About Masculinity, from Broadleaf, and Come and See, a youth devotional from Hotter Fate. Welcome back, Shannon.
Thanks for having me back.
Okay, so you talked about this a little bit in the last episode, but as a former fundamentalist, I imagine that that made realizing and probably especially accepting your transness so much more difficult. So what was that experience like for you?
Yeah, it was really difficult. And again, I think a lot of that was because there was no language for it. And I didn't have access to information either, right? Like I went to evangelical college where we had to get permission to even watch R-rated movies, right?
Oh,
it was
wow.
That kind of, it was a very, and dancing was outlawed. It was a very footloose kind of situation.
Wow.
And I remember, so I was a senior in college and I remember renting Boys Don't Cry. Because I lived off campus. And that was like the first time I realized that there were other people in the world that maybe were like me. And looking back, like that movie didn't ever mention trans folks. But it was this sense of, oh, there's at least one other girl in the world who wants to be a boy or like wants to look like a boy and be with girls, right? Like that was my interpretation of Boys Don't Cry. And I remember feeling really like I saw myself in that. But I also remember being terrified of it because that was like literally the only trans story I saw. And it ends in tragedy. And I think that that kept me from coming out as trans for another couple of years and figuring out my identity. Because I was like, if this is the model, like this is not good. This is not going to be good for me. Yeah. And so I think it's why I'm so passionate about trans representation and how we need more of it. And we need
stories. Same.
And so then after I left college, I fell in love with a woman. And so I came out as gay and was like, okay, maybe this will be enough. And I was in spaces where gender spectrum was like really broad and I'm going to folk festivals and like seeing people. And I was like, oh, this is great. And I can just be butch or I can be genderqueer and that'll be enough.
Yeah.
And as years progressed, it was like, something's still really not right. Like, I don't feel right in my body. I don't feel right when people use feminine language for me. I'm in lots of women's only spaces and I don't feel like I belong in them.
Yeah,
I think that there's something more to uncover here. And so my partner asked, like, do you think you might be trans? And that kind of set me on a journey of read a bunch of memoirs, and because I'm a nerd, like I go to books. And so read a bunch of memoirs, started to like dig around and thought, oh yeah, I think that this is my story. But I was really nervous because I was, you know, still had a lot of friends in that conservative evangelical space. My family was still in that space. I was in seminary to become ordained. And so I'm
Yeah.
like, if I come out as trans, like the church already doesn't know what to do with gay and lesbian folks. If I come
Yeah.
out as trans, I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to lose my family. I'm going to lose my partnership. I'm going to lose my job. And so that was really hard. But I remember there was a point where I think I was in therapy and I had this moment of, you know what, even if I do lose everything, even if this is the end, like even if my family never speaks to me again, even if my partner leaves me, even if the church won't ordain me, like I have to do this or I'm not going to ever be able to be myself. I'm not going to ever
Yeah.
be able to live fully. And that was the moment when I was like, oh, this isn't just like, this is something that I have to do. This is who I am. And so that then set me on the journey of coming out and medically transitioning, which has been such a gift. And I did lose a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
Like none of those fear, I don't want to say like, oh, and none of those fears were founded. Some of them were.
Yeah.
And also it was still absolutely the best decision I've ever made for myself.
Yeah, it's interesting hearing you talk about Boys Don't Cry, because I think the first time that I saw a trans woman in any way represented was Ace Ventura, which is
Yeah.
horrible. And that left me
Horrible.
thinking, oh, we're predators, we're jokes, you know. And then what, like after that there was The Crying Game, which is not good either. And
I
so
think that was the first movie I saw that
yeah, and so the
represented.
representation was it, and I think Ace Ventura specifically, the feelings that that gave me, and I can still, it still makes me feel so awful inside, probably delayed my figuring myself out by years because it just made me feel so gross about what I recognized some kind of connection with that I couldn't articulate at the time. So, yeah.
And I remember like the second time I saw a trans man was Max in the L Word. So again, you've got this representation of like it for Max, it was like rage-filled, misogynistic, pushed out by this lesbian community that he had been a part of. And I was partnered to a woman at the time and in the lesbian community. And I thought, like, oh, I'm gonna lose like whatever
Yeah.
community I found. Right. I think that's people don't understand how much representation, fictional representation, has a real impact on people's
Absolutely
actual
does.
lived experience and lives.
Yeah, I've done my best on this show to talk about that. You know, every year I do my trans rep in media thing that we've talked about. And I do want to mention, since we're talking about good representation of trans people and trans men, have you seen Is Somebody Somewhere?
Yes, I'm obsessed.
Fred
Yes.
Rococo, I love him
Yes.
so much. He's
So great.
adorable.
So
He's
great.
the best. Okay.
That show is also such a beautiful representation of like queer spirituality too, which
Yeah.
I really respect those writers for making that.
Yeah. So, folks listening, if you have not seen it, it's an excellent show and it has the best trans man ever on it. He's so great. You're going to love him. I love him with all my
Thank you.
heart. He's the best. Okay, so for you, what has been the most surprising thing about transitioning?
Yeah, I a connection to my body and to my faith and how like deeply integrated those two things were has been such a gift. And I think being not I hadn't realized like how much of a distance I was holding myself. Like I grew up in a religious tradition that was very like emotional, and I always felt a little bit weird because I could never like tap into that because I was always so aware of like when people are raising their hands in worship, I was always kind of watching myself and being like, am I performing
Yeah.
properly like everyone else? And just so hyper aware, and I could never really let myself go. And I think being able to let myself go and just be present with other people and in situations has been such a gift of transition.
I think so too. Like I used to never want to be seen or perceived. I would always watch myself in spaces, especially with boys and men, to be like, am I doing what they're doing? Am I being, you know, the way that they expect me to be? And I never ever wanted any kind of attention. And now, like, you know, at our wedding, I was dancing. We had a re-wedding recently to redo one with
Love
the real
it.
me. And I was just dancing and no one else was dancing. And I didn't care. I just danced in front of everybody. And I could have never done something like that pre-transition. I would have run screaming from the room at the idea of it. So
Yeah, you like became an extrovert.
I did. Yeah. Which is good because I am still an introvert and now I just push Tilly in the front. You don't even need to. People recognize me. It's very strange.
It is strange, but yes, it does happen. You get recognized in
All the
certain
time.
places. Yes.
That's amazing.
Okay, if you had advice for someone just beginning their transition, what would it be?
Oh, this is such a great question. My first piece of advice is trust yourself, and that you can trust yourself, right? You can trust the voice that's telling you that this is right and good. And you don't have to listen to people who are maybe saying negative things or saying that you're selfish. Like, what if you're hearing those voices? Like, trust the voice that's inside of you. That's one. The other thing is, like, get connected with other trans people as quickly as you can, and preferably trans people like from all generations. There's such beauty and strength in our communities, and it's just such a joy to be around other people who get it and who can connect you to our history. Like, we have such a beautiful and incredible history as a community, and I just want people to like tap into that and be to feel a part of it and to feel welcomed by it. And so, like, connecting to as many other trans people as you can, whether that's in person or online, like, I think that's just such an important thing for folks that are just beginning their journey.
Yeah, I agree. It gives you this connection where so much of it, I think for a lot of us, we feel so alone for most of our lives. And when you realize and you connect to and talk to other people that have felt the same things, have gone through what you've gone through, who understand fundamentally what it's like, and then you can look back at those people from history that were like us and say, we've always been here. Look at the, here we were 200 years ago, you know, and 2000 years ago. And it gives you this grounding, this connection to life and earth that you just like never felt before because you felt disconnected from everything around you. So I think that's really
And understanding that there's been erasure over the years and that is a real thing.
It is.
And I think it also like takes the pressure off. I just remember when I was first coming out, I felt like I had to be the one to educate everyone, and that if I didn't do it, no one else would. And I wish that I wish I had tapped into community and realized, like, oh, actually, there's all of these other people that are already doing this work that know how to talk about it better than I do because they've been doing it longer, and I can just like let them do it and support their work. Like, I don't have to take all of this on myself. I think that would have made my early transition a lot easier on me and on everyone around me, because I would have been less crabby all the time.
Yeah, I've said that's one of the reasons that I do this podcast and write my essays is so that other people don't have to, because I'm very privileged for a trans person. So for the folks out there, if people in your life are giving you crap or have too many questions, just point them at my stuff. Let me handle them. You don't have to do that. Okay, so what the heck is boy moding and girl moding? Boy mode is simply when a trans woman or non-binary person dresses in their old man-coded clothing after having begun transition. Girl mode is the same in the other direction, when trans men or non-binary people dress in their old woman-coded clothing after having begun transition. I don't actually boy mode anymore, but we'll get into that in a bit. When I first began transitioning and slowly dipped my toes into getting and wearing women's clothes, the sensation was almost completely overwhelming. After a lifetime of feeling awful and gross and hating my body, just changing my clothes had a massive effect on me. I went into much greater detail about the importance of that in the Trans Tuesday on heavily gendered clothes and trans people in episode 15 of this show. Because dressing in the clothes I'd always wanted to was so overwhelming at first, I didn't feel I could do it every day. I needed time to process and, for lack of a better term, feel my feelings. I needed to explore all the things that were happening and going on inside my head.
Feel my feelings is a good thing. I say that all the time.
And so I ended up alternating for a few weeks, a day dressed as me, a day in boy mode, rinse and repeat until I became more comfortable and used to how women's clothes made me feel and how it changed the way I moved. Okay, so Shannon, you mentioned that you'd always sort of at home anyway been able to dress in boys' clothes when you were younger. But what was it like? I mean, can you remember the first time that you did it? Was it if it was overwhelming or what the sensations were like or how did it feel once you could do it all the time?
Yeah, I think for me, the beginning of my journey, and this was like before I had any language for myself, where it was like I would go to the women's section because I wasn't allowed to shop in the guys' section, and
Of
I would
course.
buy the most boyish thing that I could, which was like always ill-fitting, right? It never quite was what I wanted it to be. And so I do remember when I started to have more control over what clothes that I was gonna buy and wear, starting to shop exclusively in the men's section, or as often as possible. And that feeling definitely better, more right. But I definitely, for me, it was like puberty in my chest was always like, that was the site of massive dysphoria for me.
Yeah.
And so trying to figure out like how to hide my chest. And I was a tiny kid. And so I was always wearing like extra large t-shirts when I should
Yep.
have probably been wearing a small to try to like hide my body, which I think actually made it worse. It was all of those things of like I didn't know how to dress myself.
Yeah.
And so that was hard. And that was what, so when I first started my transition, like getting a binder was a huge, huge deal for me. And that
Yeah.
was when I was like, oh, this is maybe what I could look like. That was huge to be able to put on a binder and feel like I was walking through the world closer to what I should have been. I
Yeah.
remember that being just a massive relief.
Yeah, I had the exact same thing in the opposite way in early transition, right after I had started hormones. Obviously, I hadn't developed any breasts yet, so I got breast forms to put in a bra to wear under my shirt, and just having them on, I couldn't stop smiling because the weight of them. I'm like, this is almost real. It's not totally me, but oh my God, I could be like this someday, and it's an amazing feeling. Once I finally got comfortable in women's clothes every day, boy mode dropped out entirely because I didn't need it and certainly didn't want it, except the entire world is not like being at home, is it? But at the beginning, I was trapped at home as it was early on in the pandemic. And for a more in-depth discussion on a pandemic transition, do see It's Trans Tuesday at TillysTransTuesdays.com. Even though society was still largely shut down, I still had to make mass grocery runs, and at first I was terrified to even take out the trash dressed as myself. A lot of that is how scary it feels to possibly be perceived when you spent your whole life not. But even worse was the very real concern we trans ladies face of harassment, or worse, when people think we're quote-unquote men in dresses. The combo of the two was a new level of being overwhelmed that I had to acclimate to. See the Trans Tuesday on Confidence, episode 31 of this podcast, for what it was like when all that changed for me and I started to very much want to be perceived and seen, to rightfully take up the space that's mine. And you can also see the changes confidence brought about and the stark difference in being in a tux in boy mode and in a dress as the real me in the Trans Tuesday on a trans re-wedding, which was episode 72. Did you have a confidence shift, Shannon, after transition?
Yes, for sure. But I also think I struggled. This is one of the places where I think trans masculinity is so complicated, right? So I grew up in a religious tradition that said women shouldn't speak and shouldn't lead and
Yeah.
should be quiet. And then I transitioned and was in queer and trans spaces where now they're saying like trans men should be quiet and should not lead and shouldn't step up because they're not the ones that most at risk. And so that balance for me of trying to figure out like where and what kind of space I've been allowed to take up and how to take up space well and how to deal with privilege, I think is very complicated, right? That privilege piece for trans men is wildly complicated.
Oh, yeah.
And so that has been a hard, so I have had more confidence, and I've also been in spaces where I'm very aware of the space that I'm taking up, and so have tried to like be small, but that is painful because of how I
Yeah.
grew up. And so that's something that I'm still, I think, working through, 15 years in and into adulthood, trying to figure out like what is the appropriate amount of space to take up and when
Yeah.
and where.
Yeah, it's a complex and difficult thing. In so many situations, it's going to vary based on who is there, what the point of it is, why you're there, where you are. And so there's so many factors to consider. The bottom line for me was that before I was entirely comfortable being perceived as myself, I simply could not handle doing those grocery runs as myself. So as I collected lady cut t-shirts and tops and jeans and then skirts and dresses and slowly pruned my old mail-coded clothing from my wardrobe, I held on to some of it. I mean, a few had sentimental value, but those were a separate thing entirely. I held on to the others as a costume, a shield I could wear just so it was one less thing I had to worry about. But it also made me feel awful. See episode 59 on gender dysphoria for more on that. And yes, wearing a dude t-shirt and jeans to get groceries was enough to hurt. It felt like 400 pounds of darkness just absolutely crushing me. But for a while, I felt I didn't have any other choice. And I want you folks listening to know that there's a much more important reason someone might boy mode or girl mode, and that has to do with legal identification. During that time, I was still in the middle of trying to get legal ID I could carry with me that proved I am who I am. See the Trans Tuesday on legal name and gender marker changes at tillystranstuesdays.com. And for more on how that situation absolutely impacts tons of trans people, especially in states that make changing those things difficult, with many added layers of cis gatekeepers who have to approve of us, see episodes 69 and 70 on the 2022 U.S. Trans Survey results. So, if I went out dressed as me and a cashier needed to see ID to check against the card I was using or a cop pulled me over for something, I'd have to explain to this total stranger that I'm trans and I don't have a new ID yet. And then not only do I have to worry about whether or not they'll believe me, but I have to worry about how they're going to react. And unless you've been visiting another planet for the past 50 years, you're aware of how poorly so many cis people treat us. That is a forced outing of us as trans to whoever we're talking to. And listen, I don't hide my transness and have zero desire to, but I also don't shout it at people who may very well harm me for it. And sometimes all that felt like it'd be too much to bear. But the dysphoria of going boy mode was also too much to bear. It's even worse, actually, at least for me. I don't speak for all trans people. Imagine being stuck between those two options. Just imagine it. Did you ever have to girl mode, Shannon, or did you hit a point where it became too painful to even think about doing anymore?
Yeah, I feel like I didn't really have to girl mode. There were times when I was forced to like wear skirts for certain things. Like,
sure.
I had to wear a skirt for my college graduation. And I remember that was just like, I hated that. I think I had to borrow all of the clothes I needed to wear because I didn't actually own them anymore. The only time I really specifically remember, because I was thinking about this because I knew that you were going to ask me this.
Yeah.
It was after my transition. I hadn't yet come out to my mom. And I was invited to go over for a pool party. And I remember I had like stopped shaving at this point, like stopped shaving my legs. And I was panicked about going to this pool party. And so I decided that I was going to shave my legs. And what's so funny to me is that I then wore men's swimming trunks and a swim shirt to like go swimming. But it was like the shaving the legs was going to be too far, like not having shaved my legs.
Yeah.
And so that was, so I did that. And I remember just hating it and feeling miserable.
Yeah.
And feeling like, I think that this is the last time, like I'm going to have to come out because I can't do this anymore. But again, like I think it was, I definitely struggled with things like gender matches. Like that was a really tricky thing on ID.
Yeah.
And really worrying and being concerned about being outed and having had hard conversations at security and TSA and all of those things. Like those were all really tricky. And figuring out like what I could wear and still get through TSA. Like, could I wear my binder or was that going to create a problem?
Yeah.
Could I wear a packer? Could I pack a packer? Right. Like all of those different things that created so much stress in my early transition. So that I feel like those, it's not exactly the same as like girl mode or boy mode, but like dealing with those gender discrepancies and ID and public spaces, like that was where things felt really fraught for me.
Yeah, it's definitely all wrapped up together. I had the same thing that you had with shaving your legs when I first tried to grow my hair out the first time, and it got longer, which made me happy, but that made me so uncomfortable. And so I'm like, I can't handle this. And I shaved it off and it hurt me so bad. And then I knew, you know, I was like, oh God, I can't do that anymore. I have to let it grow out. I need this. So
although I think it's the pool party example, though, is a good one to show that like dysphoria is different for every person. Like there's certain things that are going to bother someone, and it's never the same between two people.
Yeah.
That it's important to realize.
It's completely unique and individualized in those of us that have it.
You can't just say like as a blanket thing,
right?
This is what dysphoria is, because
that's what makes it so hard to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, I've gotten to the point now where I don't boy mode at all anymore, and I haven't in years. I just couldn't, I can't, I won't. It's asking me to hide my truth, which I was forced to do for my entire life, and it would destroy me entirely. I cannot put myself through that again, not ever again. I don't know how to explain to you how bad living a lie every moment of your life is. It's misery. But what was going to happen if a cop pulled me over, someone else needed to see my ID for some reason? A lot of uncomfortable shit. Because even back then, I looked almost nothing like the photo on my old ID anymore. I found it hard to believe my old ID and early transition me were the same person, much less now where I look like an entirely different human being. So how the hell would a total stranger who may already be bigoted against trans people react? So cis friends, maybe try to think about what that might be like for you to have to put on a costume so that people won't hassle you, so that bigots might not know to direct their hate at you. But the costume weighs half a ton and has big blinking lights that only you can see, and they repeatedly flash, "I'm a liar," in your face, and it stabs you in the heart the whole time. We shouldn't have to choose between that or possible harassment. Thank you for being here, Shannon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
To my trans siblings out there who still have to boy mode or girl mode for safety, I know it's hard. I know it hurts. But if it's what you have to do to stay safe, know that it doesn't make you any less trans. It doesn't mean you're a fraud or a fake or not trans enough, because this is something we've all had to deal with, even though we absolutely should not have to. Tilly Bridges, End Transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The Google Doc and social media versions of this week's topic and all past topics are available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky, Twitter, and Hive, on Mastodon at tillybridges@mastodon.social, at facebook.com/TillySBridges, and on Insta and Threads at HeckYeahTillyBridges. And you can find Susan on most of those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at AudioJillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of TillysTransTuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies, where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening. This week, we're talking about an aspect of being transgender that I suspect most six... Okay. Sorry, Jillian. I make life hard for our audio editor. Okay.